Question. What was the degree of grace and merit, and therefore of glory in the angels? Answer. Nothing more definite can be said than, as St. Thomas puts it, that it was, quote, intensely great, both by reason of the supremely excellent nature of the angels, and because God always increases and multiplies whatever is good, end quote. In comparing their grace with that of man, and accepting our Blessed Lady alone, it may be said that it is immensely greater than among the saints. The Blessed Virgin is placed beyond all, as the Church on the day of her Assumption proclaims, quote, she is exalted above the choirs of angels in the heavenly kingdom, end quote. And hence, Suarez is of opinion that perhaps there is no other except the Blessed Virgin, or at least very few among the children of men, that can be compared with, at any rate, the supreme angels in their perfection of grace and glory. Here we have to adore the liberality of Almighty God and the mysterious and adorable way in which he distributes his gifts. First, he fashions the angels in a natural order, and in that natural order he endows some with greater natural perfection than others, according to the ideal in the divine mind from eternity. Next, he raises these angels, in the first instant of creation, to a supernatural order by the gift of sanctifying grace. Then comes the time of probation, and after that term he confirms the good angels forever in glory, and bestows on them the beatific vision and happiness and enlightenment and splendor, according to their own acts truly, but still more in proportion to the natural powers and dignity and excellence his own divine hand had bountifully bestowed on them from the beginning. Here indeed was the potter and the potter's clay spoken of by St. Paul. To man he acts differently. Not in proportion to his natural excellence, to the powers of his mind, or to the outward gifts of his body does he reward him, but, quote, the foolish things of this earth hath God selected, that he might confound the wise, and the weak things to confound the strong, that no flesh may glory to itself in his sight, end quote. And yet, some of those weak things and those foolish things God has placed in an equality with, nay, even beyond, the brilliant angels, who never knew the weakness and the foolishness of our earthly nature. End quote. Question. When did the angels come into the possession of the beatific vision? Answer. Before the resurrection of our Lord? Yes. For our blessed Lord says in St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 10, quote, their angels always see the Father's face, end quote. All the fathers understand this of the beatific vision. Now, Christ says this of the angel guardians, quote, who have but the last place in the heavenly hierarchy. And therefore, by much more reason, is it to be understood of the higher angels. Before Christ's coming, yes, for Daniel says, quote, thousands on thousands minister to him and stand before him, end quote. And in Tobias we read, quote, I am the angel Raphael, one of the seven who stand before the throne of God, end quote. Before the fall of man? Yes, for Satan was then a fallen angel and condemned when he tempted our first parents, and from that we construe that the unfallen angels were then confirmed in glory, for according to St. Thomas, quote, God is quicker to reward than to punish, end quote. All theologians are agreed that, quote, after the shortest delay, taking into account their opportunity for meriting and God's decrees in their regard, the angels were confirmed in eternal glory, end quote. Quote, the beautiful life of the angels in heaven, God's eldest born, may also furnish us with ample materials for intercession, and our Lord seems to call our attention to it when he bids us pray that we may do his holy will on earth as the angels in heaven. Sister Minima of Jesu Nazareno, a Carmelite nun who lived at the time of the French invasion of Italy and spent a life of incessant and wonderful intercession, used continually to offer to the Divine Majesty the love of the first choir of seraphim and reparation for all the outrages then going on in the world. It was remarkable, when we come to think of it, that neither angels nor men were created in a state of nature, but in a state of grace, and were thus able at once to love God and to merit eternal life, which is nothing else than to eternal society with him. Grace was a better position than nature for loving God. By grace, he could communicate himself to us supernaturally. By it, he at once got more love from us and made us more able to love him. Oh, that we had the hearts to take this in and all that it involves. If we are come to weights and measures with infinite goodness, surely his love of us should be our measure of love of him, a measure to which we must never cease to aspire, though we shall never attain it. Well might St. Francis run about the woods in the valley of Spoleto. O God not known, God not loved! Well might St. Bruno cause the mountain solitudes to echo his one lifelong cry. O goodness, goodness, goodness! Well might our dearest Lord appear to St. Gertrude, pale, weary, bleeding, and dust-stained, and say, Open your heart, my daughter, for I want to go in and lie down. I am weary of these days of sin. But at last, as we grow in the knowledge of God, we grow in his love also. Father Faber, All for Jesus. This has been a production of Alleluia Audiobooks. For more free audiobooks, please visit us at alleluiaaudiobooks.com. You are free to make copies of this CD to give to your friends and family, but we do ask that you do not alter the original audio. Thank you, and God bless. All you holy angels, pray for us.